And Jim would say, hey, bring him over with you. It was more, he said, bring him with you. So we had this, Jim had this get together in his basement after home games that was everybody. My mom and dad were there. They're like, my dad was a pastor. So he had those guys in, and you know, so my mom and dad came over. I mean, everybody was over there, and it became this mythical kind of gathering, and our team became much closer because of it. And we started playing for each other and even each other's families that we knew. We started playing for something bigger than ourselves, and it carried us through 4 pretty good years.
Love it. And you know, one of our favorite Jim Kelly stories was at the Hall of Fame years and years and years ago. And the bartending staff in the hotel where all the Hall of Famers were staying, they needed help. Like there were many more patrons than folks behind the bar, and Jim decided, you know, I'm just going to start helping this staff, and he hopped behind the bar and started serving everyone, and so this tracks is basically what I'm saying, Steve.
Well, I'll say this, you know, that Jim cut a wide swath, and this is a true story. When Jim went in the Hall of Fame, he was a first ballot guy.
Oh yes.
And the Hall of Fame said, how many people do we need to accommodate for your group? You know, how many friends are you bringing with you? And he said 37 busloads. And they said 37 people. He goes, no. 37 busloads of people. And if you remember, that's the first year where they had to move the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies from the steps of the Hall of Fame into the stadium. That was the first time they did. And Boomer started, you know, Chris Berman started hosting it. It became this big event.
Yep.
And they had to open it up because the entire region of Western New York showed up at Jim's induction. And they just couldn't accommodate all those people. And now it's a big deal. And they do it every year like that. But Jim was the guy who forced them to do that.
Yes. The story that I was told by the Hall of Fame about this, Steve, this is the first time I've heard 37 busloads. That's a first for me. But the story that people say is you could draw a line from Western New York through his hometown of Pittsburgh all the way down to Ohio. And it just was just a massive migration of Jim Kelly lovers that needed to be accommodated within a larger space than the front steps of the Hall of Fame and I-77. That was, you just couldn't fit everybody. And that's why that's why Jim Kelly is the reason why there is a ceremony every year in the stadium, and also that there is a personal bar for the Hall of Famers. Jim created that one too. Like he's got the legend left, right, up and down.
I've met a couple hundred people who bartended at his house at our party.
Steve Tasker here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the here and now with the Buffalo Bills, and starting with the most recent preseason game. Very simple question: what was that, Steve?
Yeah, it was a stinker. That was a stinker.
So what do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, certainly that I've seen that before. I mean, I was a part of it. It was all too familiar to me. We used to go 0-4 under Marv Levy before we'd go to the Super Bowl in the preseason.
Okay.
But that was a stinker. And I think it shocked a couple of it's not that they were bummed about losing the game, but they just didn't feel like they were competitive. I think there's a lot of things in it. The road trip, the couple of days and flopping in a hotel with nothing to do. They showed up flat. They didn't game plan. And I think, I don't know anything about, you know, the Bears and what they, but I get the feeling the Bears wanted to look good in that game. So they game plan, played their ones. I think they gave Caleb Williams a few extra things to work with offensively. They let him air it out a little bit. And it's a testament to how thin the margins are. You got a team that won 5 games. I think Chicago won 5 games last year, and the Bills are in the conference championship. And if you don't show up with your guys, you're going to get your head handed to you by anybody. Even in the preseason, the Bills didn't play their top 25 or 30 guys. So there's a little bit of that in there. But you could tell in Sean McDermott's post-game press conference, in talking to some of the players, that was a little embarrassing for him. And I don't know how much different it'll be this week in Tampa Bay on Saturday. But yeah, that was a little too much, even for a preseason game, and I think they felt it.
Yeah, because again, it really, you know, with all due respect to the Saturday game in Tampa, that might be more to see who's going to be guys 40 to 53 on the roster, right? More than a prism or an indication of what things are going to look like when it really starts in a big, huge way,
yeah.
You know, on the
yeah.
first Sunday night of the season with the Ravens coming into Orchard Park. So that said, I mean, just nationally, Steve, the conversation I think last year was disrespectful, and the Bills responded by basically saying, yeah, we're just going to win the division again. And as a matter of fact, we're going to wrap it up with 5 weeks to go. And then we're going to have Josh Allen as an MVP and a true, you know, Hall of Fame candidate down the line here. Now, I guess the respect is, sure, you can win this division. But outside of that, let's see it again. Roster-wise, yeah. Who else is there? Is that a fair assessment of the Buffalo Bills? Or are we disrespectful again here?
Well, everybody has doubts. I mean, every team in the league has some doubts about what they're going to do. I think the Bills, some of the doubts kind of reflect where they were last year. You know, nobody's really sure about their wide receiver room, and they did it last year with Mac Hollins and Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the roster and Khalil Shakir, who nobody knew about. And they started and they picked up Amari Cooper midseason, who now is still looking for a team. So the expectations were justifiably different last year. But in this year, they feel even better about that group that overachieved last year. Well, different guys overachieved last year, but they feel confident in their ability to do it even better this year. They scored more points in the NFL than anybody through the regular season and postseason last year. And it looks like they're going to be that good again. Josh seems at the height of his abilities. He just seems like there's nothing that gets around him, pre-snap, post-snap, and of course, he's the most difficult quarterback in the league to sack, so teams really have to take that into account when they're putting together a game plan. You can't even count on sacking the guy or getting pressure on him, because if you do, he's even better. He's a real problem. And with the guys they've got now and the philosophy they put in their wide receiver room and their skill set, particularly since they signed James Cook back, the Bills' offense is a real problem, because they are not afraid to hand it off half the time. And their offensive line, they're good. I mean, they may not be an elite offensive line, but they're big, they're athletic, and they run the ball really well. So you couple that all together, and that offense is, I mean, they're going to be right there again. The question mark around this team has to center around the defense. They did nothing of note last year except one thing. They consistently churned out turnovers. They couldn't get teams off the field in third down. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't rush the passer. It was all the best they could do is middle of the roads type numbers defensively. But they did get turnovers. That got them to the AFC Championship game. Mm. But defensively, if they can get any better, any significantly better in any part of their game, I think it'll achieve exponential results for the rest of the team, because all the offense needs is just, you know, make the other team miss on a couple of drives and you're going to win by a couple of possessions, because this offense is really difficult to stop. But defensively, I mean, you look at their draft, 5 of the first 6 picks were on that side of the ball. 3 of them were on the defensive front. And they got a really good corner in Max Hairston, who, when he gets back, he'll be plugged in pretty quickly, I would think. But that if the defense is where the question marks are, and if that does get better, this team is going to be an even tougher out than they were a year ago when they got the conference championship.
And then with Allen, Steve Tasker, I mean, I think the only question left for him to answer is how long can he stay this great, right? I mean, He's reached the zenith of human being, right? Like he is the real deal. You can't say enough about him as a person, and you can't say enough about him as a talented quarterback who leads a city and a fan base that is so starving for him to bring a parade to town. That's the only question I have about is Allen, because he can't get any better, right? Like he's at the zenith of that, would think as well.
Yeah, you go to the analytics even point to it. I mean, even in crunch time and in playoff time, and when all the he plays as he's as good or better than anybody, even Mahomes, his numbers are even better than Pat's when the chips are down. I mean, the guy just doesn't miss. He's impossible to get off the field. It takes a supreme effort by, Steve Spagnuolo seems to be able to do it at the right moment late in games, which is where it all comes down to. You know you're going to get into a spot with this team where you're going to be in a tussle. Even if you're playing your best, you're not going off and leaving them. Last year, they in the last 65 games, they've lost one game by more than a possession. And that was week three last year to the Ravens when and they almost climbed back into that one after a couple of plays. So just after halftime, this is a team that is really difficult to beat. Even if you do manage to beat him, it's going to be a one possession game and you're going to have Josh with the ball at some point late. They're tough. They're going to be right there again this year. They really will be. And it'll be a question. And you always hear this stuff about this team is cursed and that team is cursed and that. If this team is cursed, it's not a curse of, always losing the Super Bowl or whatever. It's the curse of losing your last game. That's the curse. They are good enough to beat anybody on any given day, but you got to play well on that last day of that last game. And they have just not played well enough on those days. They're good enough to go to and win the Super Bowl and have been for 5 years, but you got to play well on the final day. And they haven't been able to do that just yet.
Well, I guess before I let you go, Steve, maybe another intangible is this is the last year in this stadium. And that could lead to the good tidings, the good karma, the football gods. I don't know. I mean, it's just going to come down to, is it going to be in Highmark? Is it not going to be in Highmark? Is it going to be against the Chiefs? Will it be against the Ravens? Could there be another team that pops into the mix here that the Bills need to get past on that day? I mean, maybe it'll be the old Rich Stadium. That
Yeah, who
brings it
knows?
through. I don't know, Steve, you know?
Yeah, well, the perfect case scenario is, because I'll say this, like I said, if their defense plays well and raises the level, the one seed would be on the table for this team. They're going to be that good. I think their biggest challenge of this entire schedule is going to be opening night, Sunday night against Baltimore. I've been on Baltimore's side of the schedule where you get put out of the playoffs by a team when you've got a really good squad. And you go in and you get put out on the road and you get put out of the playoffs and you really feel like you had a chance to go the distance. Baltimore is going to come into Buffalo on Sunday Night Football opening weekend and they're going to punch him in the mouth. If the Bills find a way to scrape out a victory in those circumstances, the sky's the limit for this crew. Now, I'm not saying I'm not. The Bills will probably be favored, but I'm telling you what, I know John Harbaugh and I know those Ravens and what a good organization they are. That's going to be a tough team to beat on opening day. But that's the challenge, I think. That's the game on this schedule. The Bills really have a favorable road after that. I still think the one seed's going to be on the table for them, assuming their health.
Right.
So, yeah, best case scenario, Rich. AFC Championship game for the final game in Highmark Stadium here in Buffalo before they move over to the new venue and off to a Super Bowl in Santa Clara, right? So we'll see.
And a parade. Don't forget that. That's
And
the
a
one, the
parade
one before
and a victory cigar that's this big.
Yeah, and Jim Kelly's personal bar in his basement.
That is right.
Steve, thanks for the time. Let's do this throughout the season. Would love to chat as much as you're willing.
Call me anytime, Rich. Good seeing you.
Right back at you. That's Steve Tasker right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Awesome.
I mean,
That was great.
You saw the Bills' schedule. He's just like the Ravens are the toughest test. I mean, they have both teams that were in last year's Super Bowl in their house and also Cincinnati.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, the last year in the old Rich, current Highmark, there's some pretty big teams coming in for some massive contests. And most of the country is going to see, if not the entirety of them, like Sunday night in week one. Marco Belletti with a sports update. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. That's what's going on the program.
Infinity Sports. WJQX, Helena, a Cumulus station.
Your home for Birmingham Barons baseball. 100.5 Jocks 2.
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of the broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated is prohibited.
Welcome to the Birmingham Barons pregame show. Today's countdown to the first pitch is brought to you by Coca-Cola. Now, here's the voice of the Barons, Doug Greenwald.
Well, as many of you are driving around greater Birmingham right now, you're probably realizing it's raining, and it's no different here at Regents Field. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Birmingham Barons Baseball from wet Regents Field. This is Doug Greenwald. It is tonight, hopefully tonight, going to be the visiting Rocket City Trash Pandas and the hometown Birmingham Barons after Birmingham's 4-3 win last night. The Barons coming into tonight, 8 games up in first place over Chattanooga. Rocket City entering tonight with the league's worst record in the second half and overall, but in the second half, 14-32, overall 38-76. Birmingham, again, an 8-game first place lead over Chattanooga. Although that doesn't really matter, it's the lead over Knoxville, which is at actually 8.5 games. But Birmingham is 32-14 in the second half, and the league's best record of 70-45. Well, pretty much know that we are not going to be getting underway at 7 o'clock. The field very, very wet right now. Tarp is obviously covering the field, but if we have baseball tonight, it will be for the Rocket City Trash Pandas right-hander Walbert Arena at 4-8 with a 5.24 earned run average. And for Birmingham right-hander Connor McCullough, who is still looking for his first decision since coming back from Tommy John surgery, and his ERA is at 1.50. So that is the story here tonight. We will keep you up to date, but we will not be getting underway on time. We have David back in the studio tonight, so because of that, we're going to be playing interviews for a while. We still want to go and get started at the same time because we did promote it as a 6:45 pregame, so we will stick with that. Our first pregame tonight will be Birmingham pitcher Tyler Schweitzer. You talk about a guy that has done a good job with Birmingham, even though he was up a good chunk of the year this year, Triple-A Charlotte. But he began the year in Birmingham, now back in Birmingham, and he comes normally out of the bullpen early. He will, what they do call a piggyback system, when he's the designated second pitcher in, normally following Tanner McDougal. But Schweitzer, as a member of the Birmingham Barons, in 8 appearances, is 5-0 and has not allowed an earned run in 32 2/3 innings to go along with 31 strikeouts. So you can figure that out. Only 1 run overall, none earned, and no ERA in 32 2/3 innings as a Baron. Well, we didn't talk about that, but we did talk about what it's like for him, what it was like for him at AAA this year, some things he learned pitching at a very high level of professional baseball. And we also talked about his background growing up in Indianapolis or that area and playing at Ball State University, a good baseball program in the Mid-American Conference. In fact, who he played against in college is a guy he's now teammates with the Barons. We will play Tyler Schweitzer for you when we get back. And then after the Schweitzer interview, we will introduce some other interviews as well. Hagen Smith, who we talked to last week. We didn't get quite to the entire interview, but we will have time for that tonight. He's a Barons pitcher. Started last night's game. It was his birthday last night. And then following Hagen Smith, we'll have, it's really an all left-handed pitcher three-part interview tonight, or three different interviews tonight, all involving left-handed pitchers. You've got Tyler Schweitzer, Hagen Smith, and then Brian Moran, a veteran pitcher who was here earlier this year with the Columbus Clingstones, guy who's had quite a journey, which has included getting to the major leagues with the likes of the Marlins and the Astros. Brian Moran, I'm sorry, the Marlins and Angels, let me correct that. Brian Moran still kicking around, pitching professionally at Double-A this year and with the Columbus Clingstones. So Brian Moran will talk a little bit about his journey this year as well. But first, we have Tyler Schweitzer for you, and we'll have the White Sox, or we'll have, well, the White Sox slash Barons pitcher for you when we get back on Jocks 100.5 FM.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Try and taste with your ears. Hear those bubbles? Imagine them tingling on your tongue. Fizzy deliciousness. Listen to that cascading liquid. A mouth-watering waterfall. Irresistibly tasty. Zero sugar. Crisp. Refreshing. And ice cold. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Well, man, it's been a big part of the bullpen this year for the Birmingham Barons. Tyler Schweitzer, kind enough to join us. And, you know, for you, first year at AAA, second year at AA, I get it. You don't want to be back here. Nobody does once you go up. But when you got to AAA, what was a moment that you thought, wow, this is a little different than AA?
Honestly, right away. I mean, I thought I was doing my first outing in Scranton. I had three perfect innings. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is pretty good. And then all hell broke loose, and I think I gave up five runs in the fourth inning or something like that. I gave up a 3-run home run, and I was just like, oh, welcome. This is the welcome to AAA moment right here. Basically, like, I realized I can't throw it right down the middle. They'll hit it. All right, let me try to be more precise, and then, oh, I'm missing a ball off. Oh, that was called a strike. They challenged it. It's a ball. So just that kind of surface level of can't give them a cookie, so let me try to, you know, try to dot up, as they say. Oh, not dotting up. Gave them a cookie. They hit it. So just their approaches were just way, way different than what I realized.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at AA, most guys at AA haven't been to big league camp yet, haven't been to the big leagues. AAA, you can get anybody who's 35 years old to a 21-year-old prospect. So you're facing a lot of guys who have been in the big leagues.
Yeah, someone said it best. I forget who, but they said AAA is just basically a waiting room for the major leagues at this point. There's so many good guys up there. And like you said, 35-year-olds, most of these guys have been perfecting their craft for over a decade in just baseball alone, maybe even more than that. So they know that what they're looking for, what to do. They know their scouting reports to a T, and all the coaches up there, you know what they're doing.
Yeah, and again, it's just about guys that have been there, done that. So you get drafted by the White Sox. Go back a little bit. You grew up in Indianapolis, not far from Chicago. So I know there's no major league team in Indiana. So growing up, who's your favorite team?
I grew up a Cubs fan. So
you're not alone in this group.
Yeah, my dad was a Cubs fan, so obviously I was a Cubs fan. We should technically be, I guess, Pirates fans, just because the Indianapolis Indians, or I guess the closest team would be the Cincinnati Reds, but yeah, the Cubs were the family choice.
So I guess a few trips to Wrigley for you in the car?
Oh yeah. Every time I went to Wrigley, the Cubs would win, so it was always exciting to go watch a game.
So 2016, I'm guessing you were in high school and the Cubs won it. Did you go to any of those games, the playoff games?
No, I did not go to any playoff games, but I do remember when they won the World Series, I was in my friend's backyard. We were playing Ghost in the Graveyard, and it was like the last inning, so I came out of hiding to go watch the end of the World Series.
I'm not sure I could hide. I think I'd be watching it. But, great stories indeed. So the White Sox end up drafting. I read an article that you pretty much were in contact with almost all of the 30 major league teams. So when the White Sox called, were you surprised?
No. What's interesting was the area scout went to Ball State. He's a Ball State baseball alum, so he was around us for a lot of that time. And so he was in contact with me for a while, and then he put me higher on his list than most, which I really appreciate, and obviously, or hopefully, it's working out the way that we're all hoping. So like I knew it was in the back of my mind, but they weren't my first choice, obviously, but they were definitely one of the top choices.
Yeah, well, I think in general, everyone's having to be playing pro ball. I mentioned, of course, the White Sox, and you grew up a Cub fan. Did you go to White Sox games ever?
No, I've never been to a White Sox game.
Well, hopefully you will soon in uniform. Talking about Indianapolis, I know no Major League Baseball, but great tradition in the International League. There's no doubt about it. What a beautiful ballpark right downtown with the AAA Pirates. I'm guessing you've been to a few Indianapolis Indians games.
Yeah, I went to a lot when I was super young. We would go as like a little field trip for school sometimes, and then I'm just thinking back of how annoying I was as a little kid. Can I get a ball? I forget if I was that kid or if I was just that silent kid just watching the game I love.
Yeah, and of course I'm speaking of Victory Field right downtown, but no doubt about it. Now I know they used to have the old stadium, but I'm guessing that might have predated you.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember Victory Field.
Yeah, they have the old, I think it was called Busch Stadium. I want to say it was called Busch Stadium. Right near the 500 is where that is. So you mentioned growing up in Indianapolis, but not literally. So Fishers, Indiana, a little bit outside of Indianapolis. So what is life like in Fishers? What's the town like?
It was a suburb when I was growing up, and then right around high school, they turned it into a city, and it's just been ever growing. It's been, we call it the Fishers bubble, just because it's just always nice and peaceful there, and everything is just growing real nice, and seeing all these new buildings come up with new restaurants, and the infrastructure is just great.
Yeah, and again, I love the Indianapolis area. It's a great city to get around. You mentioned restaurants. You've been to St. Elmo's?
I believe I have. That's one of my mom's favorite spots. So yeah, I think I've been there once or twice.
Yeah, we're speaking of the great steakhouse, by the way, folks who don't know, in downtown Indianapolis. I've always said it's worth the 2 days meal money for one meal. We're with Barons pitcher Tyler Schweitzer and talking about growing up in Indiana. Of course, great basketball state. High school basketball is the king there. Did you play basketball in high school?
Not in high school, no. I grew up, my dad went to Ball State to play basketball for a couple years. But growing up, I think I quit in middle school after I got cut from the basketball team there. And then I just kind of focused on baseball from there on.
And helping lead Hamilton Southeastern to a state championship there, and then from Ball State. So you mentioned your dad having gone to Ball State. Was he a big part of the recruiting process?
Not really. He kind of let me do my own thing. We went to, you know, showcases and stuff like that. But my first ever college showcase was at Ball State. And just looking around at that campus, I fell in love with it. And I was like, I really want to go here. And then a couple years later, they offered me. So it was a pretty easy decision.
Yeah, about an hour north of Indianapolis up there. And then, yeah, the head coach, Rich Maloney, has been there forever, and pitching coach, Larry Scully. So how much did they help prepare you? Not everybody gets to even pro ball, but just for the game of life.
I mean, the best thing to do is get at least an education. Like, baseball is a second hand. So I came in just wanting to play college baseball, and getting my degree was my top priority. And then I just kept developing with them, and they kept, you know, pushing me to be the best baseball player and person as I can be. And coming into my junior year, I, you know, pro scouts started to contact me, and I was like, oh, okay, like, so this is really happening. Sure.
Well, there you were, and eventually to the Mid-American Conference Pitcher of the Year, 11 wins in 2022, second most in all of Division One. So winning the MAC Pitcher of the Year, did you get literally an award, or how was that presented?
So coming up to it, we were all looking at who else could win it and stuff like that. And then I think my last regular season game kind of solidified it when we beat Miami of Ohio. And then right before the conference tournament, we all kind of came together into our practice facility, and they gave out all the awards, and yeah, it's some good hardware.
Yeah, and you talk about the MAC, you're represented on this team, Mario Camaletti from Central Michigan, Michael Turner went to Kent State. Do you remember, I know you faced Camaletti, but did you face Turner at all at Kent?
He did not play against me when he was there. I believe he faced like some other guys, but he was not in the lineup when I faced Kent State.
I think he might have requested not to play against you. We'll have to give him a bad time. Now, Camaletti, I know, I did face you, and I talked to Mario about it. He said there were a couple of games that he homered against Ball State, but not against you, but he does remember facing you. What do you remember about facing him?
He's a pesky hitter. He knew the zone to a T, and, I mean, yeah, he was super pesky. He was, I want to say it was a back-and-forth fight. He'd get a base hit off me, I'd strike him out, then I'd walk him, and then, but I think I got him more times than he got me.
Yeah, I'll check the boxers, but I certainly believe you on that. Well, anyway, Tyler, appreciate the time. I want to see you obviously get back up and get out of here again, and good luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Tyler Schweitzer, our guest. We'll be back more in a moment.
WJQX, Helena, a Cumulus station. Your home for Birmingham Barons baseball. 100.5, Jocks 2.
At Sarah Toyota, our belief is selling your car doesn't have to be difficult. Most people think dealers are only interested in trade-ins. However, at Sarah Toyota, we buy your vehicle even if you don't buy from us. Our Trade Express program makes getting you an offer fast and easy. In only a matter of minutes, we'll get you a value in writing. No matter if you owe more than the vehicle's worth, if it's leased, or if you just want to put some extra money in your pocket, let us make you an offer today. Visit saratoyota.com to get your Trade Express info. It's that easy at Sarah Toyota.
Birmingham Barons fans, now you can root for the home team with every tap and swipe. thanks to the Birmingham Barons Visa Debit Card or prepaid Regions Now Card. Both cards give you the opportunity to earn cash back with Regions offers, the security of Lockit card controls, and the opportunity to show your Barons pride everywhere you go. Ready to bank with the only cards for real Barons fans? Get your Birmingham Barons Visa Debit Card or prepaid Regions Now Card at Regions.com.
When the game is on the line, you want someone you can count on. At Alabama Power, we believe in consistency and having each other's back. It's our game plan to safely deliver the electricity you depend on. We give 100% to achieve 99.9% reliability. Learn how we power a better Alabama at alabamapower.com/reliable. Alabama Power is a proud supporter of the Birmingham Barons.
Again, we are in a rain delay right now. Of course, we were supposed to throw the first pitch at 7 o'clock and still in a rain delay. I want to thank Barons left-handed pitcher Tyler Schweitzer for joining us. Great stories about growing up in Indianapolis, growing up a Cubs fan, now, of course, pitching with the White Sox organization, and his time at Ball State winning Mid-American Conference Pitcher of the Year. Hagen Smith, who was number one pick of the White Sox last year, all-everything, all-American, college pitcher of the year, SEC Pitcher of the Year, all the bells and whistles coming from an outstanding program at the University of Arkansas. I know we interviewed Hagen last week. We didn't get to quite the entire interview, but we do have some time now to use it to its entire, play it to its entirety with our rain delay. Still expected to play some baseball here tonight. In the meantime, we will now go to Hagen Smith, who will share with us, and you know that Hagen was going to get drafted likely somewhere in the first round by any of the 30 major league teams. But he will share with you how he found out where he was when the White Sox called. Now to Hagen Smith, Barons pitcher.
Yeah, I was my friends and family and I, we rented like a little venue kind of by my house, a little bit, just small little venue. We got together and watched the draft. And yeah, when my agent called me and told me I was going to get picked by the White Sox, and I was super happy.
So were you all in East Texas?
Yeah, we were. We were in Bullard.
Okay, so toward the Tyler area. We'll talk more about East Texas in a moment. So, obviously, you go that high. I think any of the 30 would have taken you pretty much in the first round or thereabout. So, is it one of those where you knew before the phone call the White Sox took you, or explain that again?
Yeah, no, I didn't really know. I heard from a few teams on draft day that kind of may be in the run to pick me, so I didn't really expect it. I talked to the White Sox a couple times before the draft, nothing really close to the draft, so I didn't know what to expect. And then whenever they picked me, I was super happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And from there, I understand what you get to go to Chicago. I know sometimes the high picks get to go to see the big league stadium, and I understand that's what happened with you.
Yeah, we went. They invited my family and I, and my girlfriend was there too. We all went to Chicago, went out to dinner, and then, you know, just seeing the stadium and everything. And it was really awesome to go out there and just kind of enjoy a game.
So that was last year, and of course, this year's spring training, kind of a chance to experience a little big league life. So take us through this past March.
Yeah, spring training was fun. I didn't really know what to expect going into my first spring training, but, you know, all the older guys up there that are in big league camp were super good to me. Kind of, if I had any questions, they kind of I could ask and feel free to ask. And we had some few younger guys that played with here for a little bit that were there too. So just kind of hang around those guys and get to know them better.
And I admit, I didn't look to see who you faced in spring, but was there maybe a big league batter or two where you're like, oh my God, I'm facing this guy?
Yeah, I didn't throw well in this outing, but when I faced the Mariners, it was kind of like a lot of their big league guys. I faced Julio Rodriguez, and then I ended up striking out Randy Arozarena, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd say those are a couple of big names. Cal Raleigh wasn't in the lineup that day?
No, it was Mitch Garver, yeah.
Still a pretty good hitter. Well, obviously exciting to get to go to big league camp, and you're going to go have more time in Arizona, though, I understand, this fall. And not just you, congratulations, but Noah Schultz and Galaney and McCullough. It's going to be a good group out there, Braden Montgomery. So what do you look forward to about that, or how much do you know about the fall league?
I don't know much, but when I found out, I kind of texted Grant Taylor and just kind of asked him about it. We keep in touch a little bit, and he's just saying you're going to have fun. Asking some of the guys here that have been here, like Dahlquist, went, and so just kind of asking them about it. They all said it's a really cool experience, and I think I'm excited for it.
Yeah, a lot of great talent out there, and yourself included. So I know this year quite hasn't gone the way that you'd hope. You missed a couple of months, but some guys have to go to Arizona or be away from the team. At least you were able to stick with these guys all season.
Yeah, you know, I did something. We went somewhere and did something for a little bit, just mechanical things. And when I got back here, it was nice just to be around the team again.
Yeah, no, it's good because, again, sometimes guys go to Arizona or go to another team to rehab. At least you've been here. So, obviously, picked out of the University of Arkansas. We know that's one of the top schools in the country for baseball. And when I talked to Peyton Paulette, or I've talked to other guys out of Arkansas, Dave Van Horn, that's the name I talk about, but Matt Hobbs seems to be the guy, the longtime pitching coach. So how much has Matt meant to you?
He means everything, you know. I could call him right now, and he'd answer right away. And, you know, we just keep in touch with him. I mean, he was awesome. I mean, you kind of look at, since he's been there, look at the pitchers that he's developed and came out of Arkansas and got drafted there. I mean, there's a ton of guys, and we had two first-round pitchers last year to take in this most recent draft. And it's just a testament to him and the staff there. I mean, DJ Baxendale and Zach Barr alongside him. And, you know, their pitching is second to none.
Yeah, and that's been backed up by whether it be going to Omaha or, well, obviously other College World Series. You got to take part in that. And the crazy, you know, I looked at the box scores, and you got to pitch in games against Jacob Gonzalez in Omaha, against Calvin Harris, against Tim Elko. Braden Montgomery, I know you didn't face him in the College World Series, but he took part in that with Stanford. So you kind of look back and say how crazy it is now you're in the same clubhouse with these guys.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, just playing against a bunch of these guys that I'm on, share the same organization with now is really cool. You know, just have that experience of knowing them or knowing of them for a while, and now get to really meet them and kind of get to know them a lot better.
Yeah, part of that college experience. So you got to pitch at Globe Park, not too far from, I guess, a couple hours from where you live. 17 strikeouts in one game. Now, who was that against, and just how cool was that to do at a major league park?
Yeah, that was against Oregon State. You know, it was awesome. The backstory of that is my first outing of the year. I got ran out of the first inning. I only made it one inning, and then kind of the game after that, that happened. And that was just a really cool moment for me and the team. You know, it was really cool, but my record already got broken after 1 year, so.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Now, who broke it this year? It was a no-hitter with 19 strikeouts?
Yeah, it was one of my really good friends, Gage Wood. I'm super happy for him, and I'm glad he broke it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, to break 17 strikeouts, and I'm just joking with you here, but, gee, I couldn't pitch a no-hitter in that one. That was pretty amazing. But you did pitch a bunch of no-hitters in high school. What was it, 7 no-hitters? Was it in 1 year as a senior?
Yes, sir. That was my senior year. It was kind of crazy year. I don't know.
I mean, I can't even imagine 7 no-hitters, but that's pretty awesome right there. And it was so 7 inning games, what, in high school?
Yeah, 7 inning games.
So 7 no-hitters there, and again, on to Arkansas. So growing up in East Texas, we know that's football country. Well, I think pretty much all of Texas is. So who wins the big game this year between, in football, Athens or Bullard?
Shoot, I don't know. I'm going to say Bullard just to be a good alum, but I don't know.
So is that the big rival in football, or who's Bullard's big football rivalry?
Honestly, I have no idea. Okay. That's a really good question.
But I read in baseball it's Hudson of Lufkin?
Or is that possibly. I don't know. Okay. I know. I don't. The district may have changed since I've been there. I'm not sure.
All right, because I was going to ask is, we know that high school sports are so popular, but Bullard, Texas, is that your typical Friday night lights town?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, when I was in school, we weren't the best, but I think I've gotten better at football. You know, I think it's just more of like a southern thing in Texas. I mean, just football games in high school mean a lot, and you go around the state and there's just huge crowds and everything.
Yeah, where there, like I talked to Jared Kelly, of course, he's, I guess, a little further south, but same idea, Friday Night Lights and the Dairy Queen after it. All right, well, finally, we mentioned some of the guys you played against in college, but Michael Turner, he was your battery mate in college. So, again, what's it like being back with him here?
It's awesome, yeah. We were roommates here in Birmingham, and, you know, just we didn't talk too much just because I was a young guy and he was an old guy. I mean, we talked a little bit, but we didn't get super close. But ever since I got here, we've gotten really close. And, you know, it's awesome to have a guy like that. You know, he knows you pretty well, and he's caught me almost every game I pitched my freshman year. So he knows me a little bit, knows what I like to do, and he's awesome behind there.
Yeah, all you hogs, I guess, stick together. Well, Hagan, certainly appreciate it. Good luck the rest of this season. Let's bring home a championship in Birmingham and carry it over to the Fall League. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right, Hagan Smith, our guest. We'll be back more in a moment.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Try and taste with your ears. Hear those bubbles? Imagine them tingling on your tongue. Fizzy deliciousness. Listen to that cascading liquid. A mouth-watering waterfall. Irresistibly tasty. Zero sugar. Crisp. Refreshing. And ice cold. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
When a shipped order arrives, it's always a joy to answer your door. Oat milk for your morning coffee, just the way you like it. Drinks to restock the bar, bubbles, of course. Flowers for your best friend's birthday, yellow daisies, their favorite. With shipped same-day delivery, a personal shopper is ready to deliver the things that make you, you, and will make your day. To open the door to same-day delivery with shipped and experience delight with every order, visit ship.com. That's S-H-I-P-T.com.
Well, tonight we are joined by a longtime pitcher and a man who's been in the big leagues and hopefully will get back up to the big league soon, Brian Moran. And Brian, obviously, recently here in Birmingham with the Columbus Clingstones. Now, everybody knows you're 36 years old, double A. But, I mean, you spent much of this year at triple A. But your story, obviously, is a great one. But let's go back to when, you know, growing up, because you grew up in a baseball family. Your uncle, B.J. Surhoff, Rookie of the Year in the American League. I guess you followed him a lot, maybe more so as an Oriole than a Brewer?
Yeah, I think so. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Yeah,
growing up, baseball was obviously a big part of our family. I remember going to quite a few Orioles games, especially when they came to Yankee Stadium, because we're from New York. That's kind of where my love for the game sort of started. Probably both my brother and I remember going to a lot of Yankees games, Mets games, especially when they're playing the Orioles, like I said. So, yeah, that's kind of where the love for the game sort of was started.
Yeah, because I remember asking your brother Colin, I thought, well, you guys probably grew up Yankee fans or Mets fans, but understandably the Orioles with, so it's your mom's brother, that's correct?
Yes, yeah, my mom's brother. Yeah, both of my, two of my mom's brothers actually played professional baseball. Richard made it to the big leagues, and obviously my uncle BJ, so... yeah, it's in the family.
Yeah, so you got both uncles making it to the big leagues. You and your brother have made it to the big leagues, so that's quite a story. So growing up in the New York area, but eventually down to North Carolina and great baseball. I know they're pretty good in some other sports, too.
Uh-huh.
When you played there, I understand what one year you guys didn't – your home field was under construction. You played at Team USA.
Yeah, so I had a chance to go to UNC, which was a great experience. My freshman year, we played in what was the old Bosch before they renovated it. So they started renovating, I think, at the beginning of my sophomore year. So we played out in Cary at the USA Baseball Complex, which is a really nice facility. But then my junior year, they finished the project and got to play my junior year in the new Bosch, which is a great new facility that they built. I guess it's not new anymore, but they've added to it even since then. And it's one of the best spots in college baseball for sure.
Yeah, what a beautiful campus, and obviously guys that went on to the big leagues from that era, you and then Tim Fedorovich and Alex White, Matt Harvey, I know, is a big name on that team.
Uh-huh.
Talk about Coach Fox, you know, how much is Coach Fox you played for?
Yes.
How much he meant to you with your maturation eventually to pro ball?
Yeah, absolutely. I owe Coach Fox a lot. I feel like he gave me a opportunity as a recruited walk-on. I feel like I had a great experience. He definitely taught the mechanics and the right mentality and the right way to play. And we had some great teams, so we had a chance to do a lot of winning, which is a lot of fun. I definitely owe a lot to Coach Fox. He's definitely been a great mentor. Even into pro ball, I talked to him even recently, just asking how it was going and things like that. So he's retired now, but yeah, he's still around the program and he's definitely been a great influence, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, obviously that because it's led you to the professional
ranks originally in the Mariners system. And, you know, look at all the places you've been that – think about it. Clinton, no longer with Pro Bowl.
Right.
Bakersfield, no longer. High Desert, no longer. The West 10 Diamondjacks, no longer. Do you often look at the Bridgeport Bluefish no
right.
longer exists? That's five pro teams you've been with that no longer exist. You ever look at that and say – man, I've been around a long time. These teams no longer have pro baseball.
Yeah, yeah, lots definitely changed. That's for sure. You know, a lot of it for the better, but those were some good starting spots for me. I have good memories there. But yeah, it definitely starts to date me a little bit.
So you get back here. You are in the Southern League, and that's where you were in 2010. So the other last homestand, Barron's had a pitcher start the same game you pitched, Lucas Gordon. He was making his Double-A debut that night. You made your Double-A debut 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned that on the radio, and I don't know if you caught that during the game, but I just think it's one of those where it is – and again, I get it. Nobody wants to be in the minor leagues. I understand. but it's one of those where it's kind of crazy to think about. But the guys here at this level, you and a few others with Columbus, there's like a handful that have had major league time.
Yeah, absolutely. We have an experienced team, which is nice. It makes for a good atmosphere. Jose's obviously got a lot of time. He's had a great career. And a handful of other guys. So it's a nice locker room to be around. I definitely am appreciative of how long I've been able to stay around. So even being here, I don't take it for granted. It's still a... you're still putting a jersey on and getting to play the game.
So you played the game against Birmingham many, many years ago with the West 10 Diamondjacks, and you played at the old ballpark. And I don't think anyone in the minor leagues can say who are still playing in the minor leagues that can say they played at Hoover Met and here. So what do you think of this ballpark? And have you ever thought about putting a map together and saying, man, how many ballparks professionally you've pitched?
You know, it's probably a good idea. There's quite a few that make for a fun project. That's for sure. But yeah, I remember coming my first time to Birmingham to Hoover Met. I remember the big visiting locker room, and it being a nice facility, and then coming back, in 15 and seeing this, the nice new ballpark.
Oh, so you've been here before.
Yeah. One time. Yeah. I came back and in 15, I was with, the Jackson Generals again, and, I got a chance to see the new park. I think Tim Beckham was actually on the Birmingham Barons,
yeah.
And I've had a chance to see both facilities, and this is one of the nicest ones I think in the Southern League. So it's nice to be here for a couple of days.
We're with Columbus pitcher Brian Moran. So I mentioned your time against the Barons. Now the first game you pitched against, we have all the old scorebooks here. Was May 7th, 2011. The game was in Jackson, Tennessee, but it was still against Birmingham. So I'm going to put you to the test here. Do you remember who your catcher was in that game?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to take, I guess, maybe either Brandon Bantz or Ralph Henriquez, maybe?
Brandon Bantz is correct.
Okay.
Very good. So
some of the other names in that game, Jake Schaefer.
Uh-huh.
Scott Salicito, I guess that's how it's pronounced. Savicito, I believe.
Is it Savastano?
Savastano.
There you go.
Savastano, uh-huh. But... Luis Jimenez, Carlos Trienfil, Nate Tenbrink. I mean, those are some names.
Yeah, those, I have some good memories with those guys. I got drafted with them with Seattle and played, you know, up through Tacoma with a lot of those guys. So a lot of good memories with those guys.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy to go back and look at all those names for sure. So that's among many of your places, but... all those years in the minor leagues, all those bus trips in Dodgers and Rockies, uh-huh. and independent ball, you had to get out of affiliated ball, Puerto Rico, your journey is amazing. Was there ever a time where you're on a bus for 8 hours or you're at a nasty hotel somewhere where there's cockroaches and you're thinking, man, it might just not work for me? Did you ever have those thoughts?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think it's impossible. I think every guy runs into moments like that where you can't get things to go your way. But I think that's where, you know, your resolve and your just love for the game kind of, yeah, hopefully push you through and keep you going. So that's how it's worked for me. And you know, right when you feel like you can't get anywhere, that's sometimes it's right when, you know, you hit your next break. So, yeah, there's definitely been some some highs and some lows, but overall it's been a great journey.
And by the way, the starting pitcher in that game where you came in relief was Steve Hensley.
Okay.
So,
another guy I was drafted with and played a couple years with. I have my fond memories of, that's for sure.
So all those bus rides and all those late night stops and everything, and eventually end up in the Marlins chain. And then 2019, was it?
Yes.
2019, uh-huh. After about 11 years in pro ball,
uh-huh.
The moment you all waited for, uh-huh. That everybody waits for, it finally happened. Take us through your first big league call-up.
Yeah, so it was the last day of the AAA season. I threw the last inning of our game in Oklahoma City. It went well. At the end of the game, we come in, start to pack up, and get called into the office. They let me know me and one or two other guys are getting called up to the big leagues and for September call-ups, the roster's expanding. I don't think I realized until I went over to the trainer's office and got the flight itinerary that we were going to Pittsburgh, which is where obviously my brother was playing. It was one of those things that you couldn't have drawn up any better. So I got to Pittsburgh, walked in the locker room, shook the manager's hand. It was Don Mattingly at the time, and he said, "Hey Brian, congratulations on getting here. We're excited to have you and listen, we're gonna try to make sure you get in there against your brother." So, I sat in the bullpen for the first 2 days, kind of just waiting for the call, knowing that there was a good chance I was in there. And I think the third game, they called down, and we'd hit for our pitcher, and I was in the game. And Colin was the second batter. Warming up, I don't think my feet hit the ground. I was nervous, you know. The first batter swung at the first pitch and grounded out to the shortstop, I remember, and that was like that was kind of the moment where my feet hit the ground and I was like, okay, I've gotten somebody out here. This is the same game. I had a long at bat against Colin, and I think it was 3-2, and I landed a perfect 3-2 slider right on the corner that couldn't have gone any better, which it was an amazing moment. I'm not sure what I would have done if he would have turned it around and hit it out of the park, but I'm happy with the way it went.
Yeah, and I've gone back to watch that at bat, and there's no doubt. I mean, did you see Colin grin at you?
I did. I kind of turned off. I was happy with, I was kind of fired up to get my first strikeout, and I looked back at him, and I saw him give me that smirk, and I couldn't help but smile a little bit.
I mean, there's not, as I say, the mathematical percentages of you 11 years in the minor leagues, you finally get called up, and your first major league strikeout is your brother. Uh-huh. I mean, that is one of the great stories, I think, and I don't know if Colin likes being on the other side of it, but I think he's really proud.
Yeah, he's been a great sport about it, that's for sure. He had a great career himself. He got 5 years of big league time, I think over 50 homers in the big leagues. Yeah, he had an amazing career, and he's been a great sport about it. But yeah, it was a great moment for both of us, for my family, my parents as well. My wife was there. My wife's mom was there. Like you said, you couldn't draw it up any better. I was very lucky to get to have that type of experience, especially in my debut.
Yeah, I mean the strike at your brother, because I think it's the only time it's ever happened in major league history. Your first big league strikeout. Have you ever thought about all in pro ball, all the managers for whom you've played?
Yeah. I've had a lot of great managers. I still remember my first one, Jose Moreno and Pulaski, the Pulaski Mariners. I had quite a few. But a lot of great managers, a lot of great experiences, good teams, a lot of good teammates and guys that I've met along the way that have, lifelong friendships.
I was going to ask you, going back to your first big league call, was it Keith Johnson who told you?
Yes, KJ, who I had met when I was briefly with the Angels in 14, and I had him again in 19 all year in New Orleans, and it was a nice moment when he called me in and let me know I was going to the big leagues. As soon as he said it, that's all I really heard, and my thoughts started going every which way. But that was pretty cool.
Your first phone call was to whom?
Well, first one was to my wife to let her know, hey, we were in Oklahoma City, and I was like, we got to get to Pittsburgh here. I'm getting my flight itinerary, and we jumped on and got her flight. And then, you know, spoke to my parents after that, and Colin, let them know I was coming that way. And he had had an idea, I think, from through the different back channels or whatnot, that it seemed like I was going to be making my way to Pittsburgh. But I appreciate that he never told me, or because that might have ruined it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm glad he kept that. We know Colin's a man of few words anyway.
True.
Now I ask you this, but you can tell listeners. So you strike him out, but he didn't autograph the ball. You didn't ask him for that.
No, he gave me a good line in the locker room after, or in the tunnel afterwards. He just smiled at me and said, "I could have sworn a fastball was coming right there. You told me, totally fooled me." And I told him I think I was so nervous that I couldn't land a fastball. For some reason, it was a little bit easier for me to land the slider. So it worked out perfectly. It tricked him, and it was the last thing I think he thought was coming.
Yeah, well, great story through and through, no doubt. Well, Brian, you're an inspiration to all. Hey, 36-year-old, you're still a puppy. Get back up to the big leagues.
All right.
Please do that.
That's the goal.
And add a few more strikeouts up at that level. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. Thanks again for having me.
All right, Brian Moran, our guest. Back with more in a moment.
Steve and Ashley finally got their twins to sleep through the night. But the thought of saving for two college tuitions kept them up at night. That's why they decided to meet with their Regions banker to build a Regions Green Print plan, a financial roadmap personalized for what matters most to them. Now Steve and Ashley are confident in reaching their goals for today and tomorrow. Start building your financial confidence with a Regions Green Print plan. It's free, and it's only from Regions Bank. Visit Regions.com to find a branch near you. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
When the game is on the line, you want someone you can count on. At Alabama Power, we believe in consistency and having each other's back. It's our game plan to safely deliver the electricity you depend on. We give 100% to achieve 99.9% reliability. Learn how we power a better Alabama at alabamapower.com/reliable. Alabama Power is a proud supporter of the Birmingham Barons.
Hey, Barons fans. Hungry? We've got you covered both home or away. Dreamland is the official barbecue of your Birmingham Barons. At home, grab some Dreamland from the Magic City Food Court located in Wright Field, or visit one of our Birmingham locations, Southside or Highway 280 in Inverness. Away? Have Dreamland shipped at dreamlandbbq.com. Enjoy the best of Birmingham, both home or away. Dreamland Barbecue, the official barbecue of the Birmingham Barons.
Well, the good news is we've made up all of our interviews from the last, whether it be a couple of last week or last couple of months, and certainly the interview tonight with who's going to be our interview tonight anyway, and Tyler Schweitzer, Barron's left-handed pitcher. So that's the good news. The bad news is we've been rained out tonight, folks. So because of that, we will have a doubleheader tomorrow, and we're going to bump things up 2 hours earlier. So it will be a pregame show of 4:45 p.m. and a 5 o'clock first pitch for game one, and then roughly about a maybe 30 to 40-minute intermission between the two games. So I'm not sure the pitching matchups tomorrow. Tonight's pitching matchup was supposed to have been for Rocket City right-hander Walbert Urena, against Birmingham righty Connor McCullough, a couple of righties going tonight. But instead, I'd have to think both will pitch game one tomorrow. I'm going to guess game two tomorrow will be for Rocket City. Sam Eltegiri, a left-hander, against Birmingham right-hander Riley Gowans. That's my guess, the starters for tomorrow. But anyway, regardless, we will have it for you starting at 4:45 p.m. and a 5 o'clock first pitch for game one. Two seven-inning games tomorrow, scheduled to be seven-inning games tomorrow. That'll be Thirsty Thursday, so domestic beer, seltzers, and fountain sodas all for $2.50. Tomorrow night is presented by Miller Lite and Buffalo Wild Wings. So that is it for tonight. David, outstanding job tonight. David, tremendous job. Outstanding job as always. And I know David will be with us the rest of the week as well. So thank you to all of our listeners. And again, our interviews tonight, all three left-handed pitchers, Barons pitchers Tyler Schweitzer and Hagen Smith, and then Brian Moran, the veteran pitcher who is now in his 17th professional season. But what a journey. What a fun interview, and what a good guy. And I worked with Brian's brother, Colin, in Fresno when Colin was an Astros farmhand. And then just what an amazing story how it took Brian 11 years to get to the big leagues and his first major league strikeout of all people, his brother in Colin. Great story there. That will do it. Thank you to all of our listeners and fans. And too bad no baseball tonight, but glad we're able to get our interviews in. And tomorrow night we'll have a regular pregame show and then a few more interviews we will hope to have between games as well. Again, double rained out tonight, doubleheader tomorrow, two scheduled seven-inning games starting at 5 o'clock with about a half hour to 40-minute intermission between the two. And we'll have the pregame right here on Jocks 100.5 FM starting at 4:45. Till then, Doug Greenwald saying good evening from Regents Field.
Thanks for listening to Birmingham Barons Baseball. For updated standings, stats, and ticket information, go to barons.com. This has been a presentation of Cumulus Media.
Savings that I'm doing it earlier on other players to get more depth. So when the inevitable injury happens,